I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. And this was the sound from Gaza City this morning in the moments after Israeli helicopters killed the founder and spiritual leader of Hamas, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. The aging cleric was in his wheelchair on the street with bodyguards and well-wishers when he was hit with 3 missiles. 7 others were killed. Even at this hour, thousands are still in the streets of Gaza City, vowing revenge against Israel. Dore Gold is spokesman for Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon.
Israel is left with no choice. It is compelled to, by itself, dismantle the infrastructure of terrorism in the Gaza Strip.
Many questions today. Does the assassination of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin mark a turning point in the Mideast conflict? Is killing the leader of Hamas an effective way to fight terrorism? Or is it likely that the death of Sheikh Yassin will prompt a wave of new volunteers willing to act as suicide bombers? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. We'd like to have you join us on this topic today. And we have a number of people who will be joining us. We're going to begin with Ghassan Al-Khatib. He is the Palestinian Minister of Labor and joining us now from Ramallah. Mr. Al-Khatib, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Tell me how you reacted when you first heard the news this morning.
I thought that this is a very big mistake because from our experience, especially recently, the more Israel is resorting to the policy of assassination and violence against Palestinians, the more this vicious circle of violence is deepened and widened. And I think that this assassination is not good news at all for these forces in Israel and Palestine, which has been trying to replace the ongoing confrontations between the two sides into peaceful negotiations.
But Israel makes exactly the same case, that this is a response to the recent terrorist bombings at the port in Israel, and that nothing else seems to work, so why not cut off the head of the spiritual leader?
Yeah, I think this is an attempt to mix between the cause and the effect, because all this violence and the counter-violence is happening actually within the illegal Israeli occupation to the Palestinian occupied territories. So the Palestinians are also saying that their acts are reaction to the Israeli. And so there is a vicious circle, and there is no point in trying to figure out which is the cause and which is the effect.
Tell me if you can.
And effect.
Tell me what the reaction is in Ramallah today. I understand that people are calling for a general strike, that schools and shops are closed. But what does it look like? What does it feel like in Ramallah?
Well, people here are worried, basically, and shocked, actually. Worried mainly because there is a feeling that this incident is going to further inflame and fuel the already explosive situations, because this is going to bring about reactions from the Palestinian side, and these reactions are going to instigate further Israeli reactions, and this is going to bring us farther from our objective of peace and security, independence, and self-determination.
Is that what you believe, Mr. Al-Khatib, that this will in fact serve more to strengthen Hamas than weaken it?
Unfortunately, all what Israel has been doing in the Palestinian territories has been playing to the hand of the opposition to the peace process and the extremists within the Palestinian society. And in the same time and equally, all the violent activities of the extreme factions in the Palestinian side against Israelis are playing to the hand of the right-wing extremists in Israel, who happen to be in power now in Israel, particularly Sharon and his government. In other words, those two parties, the opposition to the peace process and the two societies, have been reinforcing each other. That's why we are calling upon a third party to come and interfere and try to help us breaking this vicious circle of violence.
Ghassan, I want to thank you for being with us again on the program.
Thank you.
Ghassan Al-Khatib is Labor Minister with the Palestinian Authority, speaking to us from Ramallah. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. We'd like to have you join our conversation this hour as we assess the killing of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, which happened earlier this morning in Gaza City. Joining me now, Tagreed Al-Khodri. She is correspondent for Al-Hayat LBC Television, also works as a stringer for the New York Times. She is normally based in Gaza City. She happens to be with WBUR here in Boston. for a few days, and she's joining us in the studio. Tagreed, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. And Nadav Eyal, did I pronounce that right? Is it Eyal?
Eyal, actually.
Eyal, sorry. Yeah. Is a political reporter and commentator for Ma'ariv newspaper based in Tel Aviv. Is also off base, but in Boston, and here to help us understand this story. Thanks a lot for coming in, Nadav.
Morning.
Tell me a little bit about the politics behind this. We know from reports in Israel that the prime minister was woken up and told that this was going to happen, or asked whether or not he could give the go-ahead for this. It obviously wasn't a decision that was made just overnight, though. There's been lots of talk about this.
A lot more than a talk. Actually, Israel decided, the Israeli cabinet decided a few times in the past, the leaders of the Hamas, whether you call them terrorists themselves, or that's just the people who are sending the terrorists, the suicide bombers, they are all targets in the eyes of the military system, the security and the defense forces. And actually, that was a very clear decision that Sheikh Ahmed Yassin is a target for assassination.
Well, they tried to get him 6 months ago, did they not?
Yeah, they tried to get him, and he went outside that house in the last moment, and they really said that quite bluntly. Actually, a daily newspaper in Israel, Ydiot Aharonot, published just a few days ago the list of people which are targeted right now. And, of course, in the head of the list was Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. Ahmed Yassin knew that, the Palestinians knew that, the Israelis knew that. And actually, when Prime Minister Sharon and the Defense Minister Mufaz authorized this specific operation, they just did that on record. But actually, the decision was made by the Israeli cabinet. People who are sending, as far as the Israelis are concerned, who are sending the suicide bombers themselves are exactly the same and maybe even worse than the suicide bombers. That's how the defense system sees it.
But Nadav, how do they square this question about whether or not killing someone who is as symbolic as Sheikh Ahmed Yassin is, and whether or not that might not just start more suicide bombings?
Well, actually, this is a very big discussion in Israel. There's actually a struggle between those, even inside the military, who are saying this will not help us. This will not help us because he's a spiritual leader, because this is motivating the Palestinians, and those who are saying there is absolutely no other choice. Now, the reason that those who are saying you should assassinate leaders on the political branch and not only military militants, the reason they are winning is because suicide bombing are just going on anyway. So they are saying, look,
nothing else is working.
Yeah, we are trying to hurt the suicide bombers. We are trying to hurt militants which are on the military branch of Hamas. It doesn't help. So we should try to go to the head, which is sending those people. And they are responsible every bit, those people who are not making the attacks themselves.
Tagreed Al-Khodri, this is a story that you've been covering right up front now for some time. It must be a little bit difficult for you to be here in Boston while this is happening in Gaza. You've been on the phone to people there. What are you hearing from Gaza City?
Very shocking. People are very angry. They describe the scene as, you know, like there are black flags raised in every corner, you know, in Gaza. It's very sad. And I want to tell you more about Sheikh Yassin. He was born in 1938, studied at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, where he joined the Muslim Brotherhood.
He grew up in the Gaza refugee camps, did he not?
No, I think he's from Gaza, not from
a camp. But since he was 12 years old, I understand that he's been pretty well in the... In
a very poor area in Gaza.
Oh, but not in the refugee camp. Okay,
not in a refugee camp. But he became prominent to Palestinians when he founded Hamas 1987, when the first intifada erupted. And he succeeded to maintain good relations with the PA and also with many Arab countries. He made Hamas able to build support by offering material help to Palestinians suffering economic hardship. He has established many organizations to establish schools, clinics, hospitals to provide free service to poor Palestinians.
Let me stop you because we've talked in previous programs about this curious nature of Hamas, that it provides a service to Palestinians and is respected for that. But this man, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, he speaks publicly about sending suicide bombers out. He doesn't deny the fact that he may himself be personally responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Israelis. The part about it that's hard for people in this country, I think, to understand is why it is people like him, why they respect him in the way that they do. Where does that respect come from?
This respect because he feels the public. You know, he talks their language. He lives like them. And the environment that Israel has been creating in the bombing, you know, in the killing of civilians, helped Sheikh Yassin to speak their language more. And he proved to be a powerful inspiration for many young Palestinians disillusioned with the collapse of the peace hopes.
Now, he was arrested back in 1989, I think.
Yeah, held was released by King Hussein in 1997.
Part of a prisoner exchange, wasn't
it?
Yes, actually, that's an actually interesting story. That followed an assassination attempt in Khaled Mash'al, which was a Hamas official in Jordan. That was an assassination attempt which failed. Two Mossad agents were caught inside Jordan, and it was really a fiasco for the Israelis. And part of the prisoners exchange, of the returning of those Mossad agents back to Israel, was the freeing of the leader of the Hamas, Sheikh Ahmad Yassin.
There's an interesting aspect to today's news, Nadav, that I wanted to get you to help us understand, and that is that clearly Israel had anticipated what kind of response there would be, the type that we're hearing described by Tagrid. They are, as I understand it from Israeli news wires, distributing videos of Sheikh Yassin's inflammatory comments, and they're making available the families of victims of suicide bombs. So there's a strategy behind this. Israel said, okay, when we take out Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, we're going to have to also do this public relations campaign. Would this be for the foreign media? Would this be going on in Israel at the same time? How would you see that?
I would say both. Foreign media first, because every Israeli knows who is Sheikh Ahmed Yassin.
Right.
Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, beside the fact that was said by Tagrid, and I agree with everything you just said, but you just missed out to one or two points. Mm-hmm. Sheikh Ahmad Yassin was personally responsible for the collapse of the peace process down in 1994, 1995, and 1996. The suicide bombing did not start in the First Intifada at all. There was no suicide bombing in the First Intifada. The suicide bombing began with the peace process. And the reason that it began with the peace process...
But Nadav, you wanna admit that Sheikh Yassin has been agreeing lately that he agrees on the withdrawal of Israeli to the 67 borders. And he said it to the media. I did a personal interview with him saying that we are willing even to talk to the Americans. We are willing to accept the fact that Israel will withdraw to the 67 border.
But it's a mixed message, though, Tagrid.
It's a mixed message.
This is the same man who says Israel needs to be pushed out of the Mideast too, right? I mean, he has said that as well.
He said that to the public. But at the same time, when they talk to politicians, they are working on a political game and they are interested to reach an agreement. But in a way, Israel refused to accept anything he said, and they don't want to deal with him at all. But this is very scary because Hamas is not something to ignore. Hamas is not Sheikh Yassin. Hamas is a big...
We'll talk more about this when we come back after the break, and also about plans announced by Israel's prime minister to pull out of Gaza and what the connection is between that and the assassination today of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. We'd like to have you join our conversation. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio on this, the same day that Sheikh Ahmed Yassin is killed by three missiles fired from Israeli helicopters in Gaza City on his way back from prayers at the mosque first thing this morning. The reaction continues in the region. We're taking a look at it here on the program. We're inviting you to join our conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. What does this particular death mean to the Mideast? What does it do with the delicate balance in that area? 1-800-423-TALK. We're actually joined now by Tom Rose, who's publisher of the Jerusalem Post, has been a guest with us on the program many times before. Tom, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Dick.
Tell me what you're hearing, what you're seeing in Jerusalem today.
Well, obviously, I think from an anecdotal perspective, folks are worried and concerned about reaction, which we all expect. No one argues or ever expected that there wouldn't be reaction to today's targeted killing, which I would bet, and I haven't seen any numbers yet, Dick, but I would bet 80% at least of Israelis support. I'm trying to think of a good analogy or some kind of a comparative means or mechanism. Nobody argued or would argue that the Allied invasion of Normandy would be met with no resistance. Of course this will be met with resistance, but Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, who died this morning, as you referred to in the previous segment, was absolutely evil personified in the eyes of almost all Israelis, and I think most moderate Palestinians as well, responsible for the deaths of hundreds of civilians, was the mastermind, the head of the snake, infinitely more culpable, more responsible than these kids that that his organization would recruit and send to their deaths.
I guess the point is, Tom, though, what happens now? I mean, if this means that there will be great numbers of people saying, you know, this is great numbers of young Palestinians saying, this is too much. I now want to be a suicide bomber. Will I look back on this 6 months from now and go, what a horrible mistake Sharon made?
Well, it does depend on the follow-up and the follow-through. I think, and I haven't heard it articulated yet in the program, but I'm sure it will at some point, I think that this could augur very, very well for the peace process and for Palestinian moderates, because one of the things that wasn't mentioned in the previous segment, Sheikh Yassin's original arrest in Israel in 1989,
yeah,
was for his involvement in the murder of 9 Palestinian collaborators. He took a great advantage of Palestinian collaborators. Dick, obviously, as we all know, an extremist and a moderate, that's not an equal match. The extremist wins every day. It's not possible for moderate Palestinians to emerge. It's not possible for a peace process to emerge mm-hmm. when you have the likes of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, when you have the likes of the Hamas organization that he created, developed, that flourished under him, under the protection of Yasser Arafat and, frankly, the protection of the Israeli government as well. I mean, you cannot have moderate parties exist. The peace process cannot move forward when terror and violence and mayhem and murder is an option.
Tom, I want you to just hang on for half a second, because there was something that you said earlier that I'd like to hear Tagrira Khoduri speak about. She, as I mentioned earlier, is a correspondent for Al Hayat LBC Television, also a stringer for the New York Times, based in Gaza City, happens to be in Boston right now. And Tagrira, Tom was saying that this could, in fact, lead more quickly to peace. Is that what you're hearing from Gaza City today?
I don't see it that way. I think, you know, the statement issued by Izzeddin al-Qassam, which is the military wing of Hamas, is really frightening this way. They said that those who made the decision to assassinate Yassin made it in order to declare the killing of hundreds of more Israelis. And also, in the statement, they are inviting many Muslims or out of, you know, the territories to be involved in responding. This is very scary.
Is that something new for Hamas to say, take this conflict outside Israel?
And believe me, Sheikh Yassin was considered by many Hamas militants to be pragmatic, to be in control of Hamas, to be in control of the military wing. And there are many times where the military wing was against Sheikh Yassin being calm and not responding more aggressively against the Israelis. He was, in a way, moderate, comparing to many military wing. Are you inviting more extremists from Hamas to come and to replace Sheikh Yassin? I see a very dark future here.
Tom, let's hear from you.
Well, I mean, the only possible reaction I could have to that is by calling Hermann Göring a moderate compared to Adolf Hitler. And I tell you, the exterminationist, absolutely rapacious, murderous rhetoric and activity of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin and Hamas over the past 10 years has impacted negatively not only Israel, but I think far more dramatically Palestinian society itself, which has been rent asunder by this horribly, horribly dangerous and destructive new ideology, which really has no basis in Islam. Let's take the specific point that's in that statement from the Hamas military wing. It's a tactical distinction on how best to murder the Jews.
Let's take the one part that struck me as new here, and that is the suggestion in that the Hamas attacks, suicide bombings could take place, for example, in America as a country that is in cahoots with Israel here. That's the sort of between the lines of what they're saying. You're saying that's not new or that's not to be regarded seriously, Tom?
It's certainly not new. I mean, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, his soul brother is Osama bin Laden. The only difference between Sheikh Ahmed Yassin and Osama bin Laden is that Osama bin Laden has been in hiding for the past 2.5 years, actually longer, whereas Sheikh Ahmed Yassin has been essentially protected by the Israeli Air Force and Army, who've known precisely exactly where he lives. I mean, reporters go to his home regularly. Mm-hmm. He's been protected and immunized. And I think, frankly, that has been one of the errors of this crisis, one of the preventable errors of this crisis, by immunizing and protecting the heads of terror organizations. It's allowed this process of social and cultural inversion in Palestinian society to really take hold, which has had devastating impacts not just on us, obviously, Dick, but on the Palestinians themselves. You'll never get Labor Minister Al-Khatib, who was on in your first segment, a perfectly reasonable and rational guy, to admit this on the air. And he probably wouldn't say it to me, certainly off the air, but I guarantee you these guys tonight are breathing a huge sigh of relief. They can't move forward. There cannot be a peace process when they're looking over their shoulders at terrorists who will murder them for any action, any thought, any sentiment that is perceived as too capitulationist to Israel.
Tom, I want to make some room for our callers here. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. We're going to take our first call from Monterey, California, and Jamal is joining us. Jamal, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Well, first of all, let me tell you, I'm a former counterterrorist analyst for the U.S. government, and I'm also an Arab American. And my view on this is, as much as Sheikh Yassin was responsible for a lot of the terrorists that happened in Israel over the last decade, I see that right now Israel has invited a lot of the militias and the youth of the Arab world, basically, to join up, because Sheikh Yassin was looked at more as a spiritual leader more than a politician.
But Jamal, how could it be any worse for Israel than the Israelis have seen it over the past few months? That's the explanation that's coming from the Israelis today.
Here's how it's going to be worse. The problem is that you're going to have now even those who the youngsters, the teenagers, and those who never were involved in any kind of political violence or any kind of terrorists, now they're going to be told that it is a war against Islam. They're now going to be told that, oh, it's just a war or a conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. They're going to use the word Islam in their rhetorics, and basically they're going to not only encourage but convince those people that it is their duty as Muslims to go and fight because they killed such a spiritual leader.
One more question for you, Jamal, and that is the suggestion from Hamas that this could in fact bring the kind of suicide bombings outside Israel. Do you take that seriously?
I do take it seriously. However, I would say it is something to be concerned about, but Hamas does not have the logistics and the coordination that bin Laden has, for example, to go and carry out attacks, let's say, in the United States or in Europe. And besides, Hamas, although they are fighting Israel and trying to destroy Israel, at the same time, they would think twice before attacking the United States, because they're hoping somehow that they can win U.S. public opinion.
Okay, Jamal, I want to thank you for calling in. I'd like to hear for a moment here from Nadav Ayal, who is a political reporter, commentator for Mariv newspaper, based in Tel Aviv, but here in Boston. You've been listening to what Jamal was saying. He says it was a mistake, that it really is going to start a whole lot more terrorism. You're a reporter, not a commentator, but tell me what you're thinking when you hear that.
Well, actually, I'm thinking about the facts, because I'm a journalist first, and the facts are that the Hamas and the Islamic Jihad, those two militant terrorist groups, are actually talking in the name of Islam. They are calling for a holy war. You must hear what those people are saying in the mosques, mm-hmm. what they are saying on TV, and it is quite clear. Even when Tagrid was speaking about Sheikh Ahmed Yassin allowing his militants, his terrorists, to talk about returning to the 1967 borders, he's talking about a ceasefire. He says quite clearly that he will never, ever give up, and you're nodding, he will never ever give up the whole of the land, from the sea till the Jordan. It is all land of Islam.
So when Jamal says that this has now become a war that is much more about Islam against the West, you're discarding that. You say that's not the case?
It's exactly the case, but it has been the case for just about 10 years since they started the suicide bombing, and it's all around the world.
Nothing really changes, is what you're saying.
This is a symptom. Yeah, you shouldn't see this as a breaking point. This is a symptom of what's going on. When you've got a 10-year-old caught in a checkpoint with a detonator on his back on the way to school, and nobody told him there was dynamite in his bag. They just told him, you do that and you get your money. These are the people we're speaking about.
1-800-423-8255. Let's see if we can move to another call. Salem, Massachusetts. Steve's joining us. Steve, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to say, I think that that the West, and particularly Europe, and maybe even to some degree NPR, is a bit complicit in allowing Hamas to become this big monster by really being so-called even-handed on issues of terrorism that are really quite distinct from, you know, whatever resolution might be necessary in the Palestinian-Israeli problem.
But be more specific, Steve, when you talk about being too even-handed here.
Well, say the statements this morning that by the Europeans that this is a terrible thing, this extrajudicial killing, yet there would be no problem about getting the people that did the bombing in Madrid. Ann Garrell's talking, reporting from Gaza, saying that Hamas is basically described as seeking the end of the occupation, when she knows very well that their very explicit goal is to eliminate Israel. And I think just giving Hamas legitimacy and confusing their terrorism with, you know, whatever political issues they have has really given it space and a place to breathe.
It's an interesting point that you raised, Steve. I want to hear from Tagrid here in the studio on that, because you're right to you know, mark that organization as responsible for numerous suicide bombings and hundreds of deaths. When you cover Hamas in the Gaza Strip, though, you're also covering a political organization, and an organization that, in the absence of anything else, is a social organization. So it ends up being, Tagrid, both things, both a terrorist organization, both a political organization.
But for Palestinians, it's not, you know, terrorist organization. For them, this is a political movement, like Fatah, like the PA movement, you know, Fatah, like PFLP, like DFLP, for them.
But how could a political movement...
Political movement, and this is the only, you know, like, it's a response always. It's a vicious circle. Sharon is doing this. Okay, I respond. And I gain public support, more credibility by answering Sharon. This is the language the people, you know, can take. They feel relief. He's killing our children. He's killing our women. And okay, I'm gonna respond for you to gain more support. And this is the language the people understand.
It's the spiral.
And I'll tell you something. The last time I talked to Sheikh Yassin, he's been always against targeting Americans. He's been so clear. And reading the facts, you know, and I don't know who's coming. By killing Sheikh Yassin, by killing the spiritual leaders, you are inviting the most extremist among Hamas to replace him. And the statement by the military wing of Hamas said such decision, the killing of the spiritual leader, was not made without taking the green light from the American administration. Hence, the American administration bear the responsibility for such a crime. And that's what was written in the statement published by Hamas today.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Tom Rose, chance to hear from you on this. When Tagrid talks about new power, new strength, new credibility for Hamas in the Gaza Strip, are you saying that that's not the case from your perspective?
It doesn't work that way. 18-year-old kids do not of their own volition line up and go to the suicide bomb factory, buy a belt, and head to an Israeli bus. It takes tremendous logistics and training and acquisition of material and transportation, not to mention a tremendous amount of brainwashing. Israeli intelligence says it can take up to 40 people to deploy a successful, quote-unquote, you use that term, suicide bomber. It's not a... It's not a normal or natural human impulse for a kid to kill himself. And I know, and this isn't a cheap shot designed at anyone. I read in my paper 2 days ago we used this term, spiritual leader. I tell you, if I hear it one more time, I mean, it's the equivalent of calling Heinrich Himmler the spiritual leader of the Nazi Party. That's the connection. He's the one who creates the ideology. He's the one who creates this murderous, exterminationist hatred which justifies the most heinous
of
crimes.
But again, it's which side of the prism are you looking through? Because if the people themselves, if the Palestinians themselves regard him as a spiritual leader, then that becomes part of his title, Tagri, doesn't it?
Well, spiritual leader for peoples, and he always said that I'm not involved in military. You know, I think Israel has failed to kill that responsible man, the leader of the military wing of Hamas. And that's why they killed the spiritual leader, because there is no target but him. And also, and he also go, and it's so clear he's not hiding. Sheikh Yassin has been always in his home, has been always going to the same mosque, and I think Israel failed to kill the head of the military wing. Also, I want to mention
let me just stop you for half a second, because we're coming close to the end of the segment. I want Tom to have a last word in here before we say goodbye to him. Tom, the optics of this are such that you have three helicopters aiming missiles at an aging and infirm man in a wheelchair on the street. That's going to be a part of people trying to come up with a balance, an understanding in here. You know what I mean?
No, there's absolutely no question. It's a messy, horrendous. I've seen some of the video. It's awful. There were six other people killed in this attack, which is regrettable and totally tragic by any measure or any circumstance. We are at war. We're at war for our very lives and existence. It's not even a question of appeasement or war. We have no choice but war. It's war or death. We've all been marked for death, and he's said it over and over and over again. But I do think if we're actually clever about this and move as aggressively to continue to dismantle Palestinian terror organizations as we move aggressively to try and support and promote moderates towards some kind of a fruitful dialogue, that this can be positive.
Tom, I want to thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Dick.
Tom Rose, publisher of the Jerusalem Post. He leaves us with a question, which we can pick up when we come back after the break, and that is support for moderate Palestinians, a question about whether or not that has come from Israel over the past few months at all. We'd like to hear from you, 1-800-423-8255. What kind of a turning point are we talking about here today with the assassination of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin? I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. And as we assess the future of the Mideast conflict today, on the day that Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, leader of Hamas, is assassinated in Gaza City, the question of America's involvement in the region comes into the forefront. Tagrid Al-Khodri, who's here from Al-Hayat LBC Television, was quoting a statement that came earlier today from Hamas, suggesting, in fact, that the U.S., that this killing could not have taken place without the complicity of the United States. And that was a question that was put earlier today to National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice.
Sheikh Yassin has himself personally, we believe, been involved in terrorist planning, but of course, the United States did not have advance warning. The fact is, it is very important that everyone step back and try now to be calm in the region. There is always a possibility of a better day in the Middle East, and some of the things that are being talked about by the Israelis about disengagement from areas might provide new opportunities. And so I would hope that nothing will be done that would preclude those new opportunities from emerging.
That's National Security Advisor to President Bush, Condoleezza Rice, talking earlier today, saying that the U.S. had no prior notice of this particular killing. With me in the studio, as I mentioned, Tagrid Al-Khodri and Nadav Eyal, who is political reporter and commentator for Mariv newspaper. This is, I think, Nadav, going to be a part of the continuing conversation. How does the killing of Sheikh Yassin change the whole balance in the Mideast, if the Palestinians are saying that America must have known about this? This pushes America further and further into simply the Israel side of the conflict, does it not?
Well, I would say the U.S. knew about it like every other Israeli citizen, because it was printed in the paper that the cabinet has practically decided on assassinating the leaders, the political leaders, the spiritual leaders, the militant leaders, whatever you want to call them, to assassinate them too. And it was printed in the paper just a year ago. But I can promise you, knowing the prime minister, talking with these people, that they didn't ask first.
Right.
They didn't ask first.
That's a matter of pride, isn't it?
No, this is a matter of independence.
That's the same thing. I meant national pride.
Yeah, they would not ask first, but I don't think Ms. Rice doesn't seem to be so regrettable about it. In a sense, it's a don't ask, don't tell policy. Israel doesn't want the U.S. to get in any way involved with terrorist activities coming from Hamas against the U.S. itself, of course. But Israel understands, or as Israel sees it at this time, the government sees it at this time, there is a global war against terror. There is some section inside Islam, which is happening everywhere. It's happening in Madrid. It happened in 9/11. And Israelis feel, when you talk with them back home, they feel about Americans that they just know what we're going through right now.
But it does widen the split in a certain way. It widens the split between the United States and Europe when we listen to Foreign Minister Jack Straw saying that this is illegal, this should not happen. Other European Union politicians today saying this is not the right way to resolve the conflict. It says to people trying to make sense of it, okay, well, you've got America sort of nodding quietly in the background and the Europeans saying no, right?
Well, actually, it does widen the split between Europe and the U.S., and there's a very big split between the EU and between Israel itself. The EU just cannot understand, and Israelis feel that they are being betrayed by the EU, and a lot of them came from European countries. Actually, most of them came from European countries, and they feel betrayed and ununderstood by the Europeans, you know, that are just sitting there, and they didn't get that wave of terror, which is just flooding through in the U.S. with the 9/11 and in Israel, everywhere. And suicide bombing, and this is a very important point to make, have nothing to do, and this is a compliment, agreed, with the Palestinian struggle. They have struggled in 1987 till 1992 and received the Oslo Accords, and there was not even one suicide bombing. They started in 1994 when the peace process started. And you're talking about hospitals, you're talking about schools, and I just want to ask one question. Where does the money come from? And it doesn't come from anywhere. It comes from Iran. It comes from Saudi Arabia. It comes from the same people who are funding Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. It comes practically from the same way. We know how it comes. This is documented.
To say it comes from the same country doesn't necessarily mean that it comes for the same purposes or for the same intentions.
It comes
specifically
for suicide bombings. That's the reason.
Okay, Tagrid?
I want to say something for Palestinians and for the Arab world. You know, you cannot refer to the resistance against occupation in Palestine, in Gaza, in the West Bank as terrorism. If you do that, you lose more support from the Arabs and more support from the Palestinians. It's very scary. The U.S. has no public support from the Palestinians because their situation has been worsened over and over time. You know, there is no solution.
Does that mean, though, then that the Palestinian people, without any idea of ever having support from the United States, then simply become so desperate that willing to say,
there is no
this
option.
Is my child, you can take my child as a suicide bomber?
For people living in jail in Gaza, in a big jail in Gaza, where the border is so controlled by Israelis, where many people inside, thousands, have never been outside of Gaza, they are becoming more and more desperate. And I think the Americans have to realize that and to resolve it in a just way. Just make them feel humans. I think that's the solution.
President Bush came out with the roadmap plan. He actually did that. And there was a Palestinian premier called Abu Mazen. Where is Abu Mazen today? He got fired by Arafat and then came Abu Allah. Abu Allah has been refusing to meet the Israeli prime minister, which has been wanting to meet him because of the fence.
I just want to explain this to you. Abu Mazen has said it very clearly. He said, and he continues to say it all the time, Israel didn't help him at that time. Hamas, Sheikh Yassin helped Abu Mazen. The truce went on for a few weeks. And then Israel did something against Hamas, killed like two very prominent people from Hamas. They killed them. And then it's over for Abu Mazen. They didn't help him.
Some of this gets hard for us to follow. We're talking about a Palestinian prime minister who held the job for a period of time, is no longer
and
there.
He was not helped.
I understand that.
Israel.
But part of the problem that the Palestinian people have had is the difficulty in organizing their own political affairs at a time when they're, for example, not allowed to travel between Ramallah and Gaza. Yes. I mean, these things they're so interwound with each other, it becomes very, very difficult to say, ah, so that's your fault or this is our fault. I want to make sure that our callers stay with us on the program here, 1-800-423-8255. And we're going to Nashua, New Hampshire. Dave's joining us. Dave, go ahead.
Good morning here. I guess a couple of things that I want to just address. Everybody's talking about what happened this morning, and unfortunately this man had to die, but this man had been inciting all the young people, the Peloton young people, to give up their lives here for what I think is the wrong way about trying to establish your land in peace. The other thing that I want to mention here is that the Israelis are doing the same thing that the British have been doing and the United States have been doing as far as Osama bin Laden, as far as Saddam Hussein, as far as everybody else is concerned. They've been trying to assassinate them, too. So as far as this policy, I don't understand why everybody is so shocked over this.
This is, Tagreed, this is going to be something which will be the case. Dave, thanks for your call, which is going to be the case that is made in favor of this killing. And we heard it earlier from Tom Rose. We hear it from Dave. We're going to hear it from the Americans, that there is no difference between Osama bin Laden, the terrorist leader, and Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, because they are both have blood on their hands for sending people out to kill innocent civilians.
But you have to differentiate. You know, you have people living under occupation. And when I speak to Sheikh Yassin, why are you inciting people to go to bomb themselves? Why don't you use a peaceful means? Why don't you use other methods? And he said, you know, what else do we have? We don't have F-16 to look more sophisticated. We don't have Apache helicopters. We don't have tanks. The only thing, the only weapons we do have are, you know, soldiers. And for them, this is the only option, and it's very striking for them. It makes them work. It makes them gain more support. And I was speaking to Sheikh Yassin, and he said, you cannot believe how many young people, and nowadays women, are coming, and they want to participate because they are frustrated.
Do you believe him
revenge.
When he says that? You live in Gaza City.
Yes, I do believe him.
But this is an awful thing to
people
say.
People are so mad. You know,
is an awful thing to say. I agree.
I'm telling you facts here. I'm telling you what people feel.
And I'm telling
right
you
there.
That in 1993...
As a reporter, you know, I did many stories on Hamas. Why Hamas is so popular? Because they help the public. Okay, why are you all so popular? Because the PA is corrupt and Hamas is not corrupt. Okay, why are you so popular? Because when Israel attacks civilians in Palestine, Hamas quickly respond and they kill more, you know, civilians on the other hand. This is, you know, what they think. I'm sorry to say that, but these are facts on the ground.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Nadab.
What you're saying, Tagreed, is actually disregarding the facts about Yassin himself. I'm not talking about Hamas today, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who want to commit suicide, but the fact is the faction inside Palestinian society which is willing to equip them and give them the ideas behind that and the ideology is really, is truly an awful thing, and I think we agree about this. The thing is that when there was a chance for peace, and there was a chance for peace in 2000, in 1993, in 1994, in 1995, when the peace, when the Oslo Accords were signed, the Prime Minister was...
Let's talk about now. We're close to the end of the program, and I want to try and help people understand where we are today and what this means, because Tom Rose is saying from his chair at the publisher of the Jerusalem Post that this will lead or can lead to peace. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say, I would say that from an objective, a journalistic point of view, that right now Israel is waiting for the response. Everybody's waiting. Let's just say that nobody would go on buses, on public transportation, if they can help it, in the next 2, 3, or 4 weeks. They are waiting what you might call, or what we call in Israel, the mega terror attack, the big terror attack, which just might change things. So in the short circumstances, not in the long run, I would say that this is an escalating situation. This is practically an escalating situation. But actually, Israel doesn't know how to help the moderates in the Palestinian society. And in a sense, they must, in some point, take responsibility for their own society, because the agreements are being signed with the PA. You cannot negotiate with every faction that's saying every crazy stuff about killing all the Jews or making suicide attacks in the U.S. You must take responsibility, in a sense, for your own political system.
Tagrid, can it happen? Can the killing of the head of Hamas in any way give strength to a point of view of the moderates?
I think the moderates will be the losers here, okay? Like, as a moderate, you know, like, Hamas now is the hero. They are the one who are struggling. They are killed because they are heroes. They are talking against the occupation. They are killed because they are against the occupation. The moderates will not win. And also, I'm getting a message from Sharon. He's been escalating, you know, the violence. He's been, like, targeting these militants involved in resistance before the withdrawal from Gaza.
Do you think that this is his way of basically leaving his greeting card on his way out of Gaza?
Yes, it's a message for people involved in resistance. I'm not withdrawing because I am defeated.
And I'm not withdrawing for good. I will or could come back if need
exactly.
be.
Exactly. This is exactly what Sharon is saying. I agree with you. Sharon is saying we are withdrawing from Gaza because it's the best thing for Israelis to do. We are not doing that because Palestinians or Hamas has won.
But is it also fair to say that Sharon will authorize the killing of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin because it's important for him not to be seen to be backing away? So it's important for the right wing in Israel.
As a political commentator, I would say that, yes, it has some factor inside that. But you just might remember that he decided on this assassination a year and a half ago before deciding on the withdrawal plan. So you can't really say that, actually.
I hear you.
Despite the consequences, Sharon went out with this just to gain the right support.
And what does he lose?
He's not losing anything.
No, what does he lose in his efforts?
He will lose, of course, the Palestinian side.
Well, he's lost them already.
He lost more and more. And he will lose achieving something called peace, what he called peace. He won't get anything.
I want to thank you both for coming in to help me with this. It's a complicated topic, and you guys have helped us understand it a little bit more. Tagrid Al-Khoudri is correspondent for Al Hayat LBC Television, based in Gaza City. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you all.
Nadav Ayal is political reporter and commentator for Mariv newspaper, based in Tel Aviv. Nadav, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Earlier in the program, we talked with Tom Rose, publisher of the Jerusalem Post, and Hassan Al-Khatib, who is Palestinian labor minister. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.